All right, we'll get started. Agenda item number 14. Report and possible discussion on drought study by Jim Forte, Planning and Development Manager.
The water availability models used by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality were developed back in 1997. And the hydrology that is used in those databases went from 1940 to 1997 and captured the 1950s drought, which many people thought was the pinnacle event of that type in our basin, actually in the state. As we were going through the process of receiving our permit, the system operation permit, of course, we were in another drought. And the staff of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality inserted a condition into the permit that said that the BRA would perform a study that would extend the hydrology of the water availability model through the end of the drought. And the end of the drought would be identified as the period of time that Possum Kingdom filled and spilled. It was assumed that that would be an event that would happen actually after we got the permit, but it actually occurred before we got the permit. So they changed the condition to require us to perform a drought study within 9 months after the permit had been issued. And we permit was technically issued in September of 2016, and we filed our drought study with the TSEC in this past June. The drought study, or the permit, and the conditions of the drought study are to ask these two questions. Did the drought from approximately 2011 through 2015 represent a drought worse than the drought of the 1950s? And if it did that decrease the amount of water available to the BRA under the appropriation contained within the system operation permit? And we knew this condition was coming. We knew the requirement for the study was coming. And so in July of 2015, actually, we came to you, amended our contract with Friesen Nichols, who has been our supporting consulting engineer on the system operation project, and added money into the budget for that project in order to accomplish the study. With us today is John Albright. John is an associate with Friesen Nichols, has been the primary modeler of the system operation permit and led the process on this drought study. John has an undergraduate degree from Tarleton State. He's been with Friesen Nichols over 20 years, and we've come to trust and rely on him for his knowledge of the water availability models. His presentation is going to be, I think, somewhat complex, but you should feel free to interrupt John as he goes through his presentation so that you thoroughly understand exactly what we found with the drought study. And without any further ado, John Albright.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate y'all inviting me here to go over this morning. And as Jim said, please, you know, if you don't understand something, don't hesitate to ask questions, because some of it's might be a little obscure. Just these are some of the main things that we did as part of the drought study. The first, probably the biggest task of this was to extend the hydrology for the water availability model through 2015, so we had this, so we could include the latest drought in it. We knew that we had a new drought at Possum Kingdom, but we just didn't know how extensive it was in the rest of the basin. And just kind of as a reminder, what the significance of the drought record is that, you know, we use computer models like the water availability model to determine what the supply, you know, what your supplies are from reservoirs and rivers and things like that. So it's really important to have the drought record in there, because that's the worst drought condition, and that defines your supply. What's available from it. I also want to mention just a shout out to Brad and his staff, who helped a whole lot with this first task. They did an excellent job in helping put together all the information for this particular task. And you know, once we had the water availability model and the hydrology done, we used that to determine the extent of the new drought. We took a look at that, and I'll have some information here later on that. And then, evaluate the impact on BRA system, and then, you know, look at those questions to see where we are. All right, this first graph here requires a little bit of explanation. What this is the blue bars here. That's the annual flow at the Brazos River near South Bend Gauge. And the South Bend Gauge is located just upstream of Possum Kingdom Reservoir. This red squiggly line on here is a five-year moving average. So at each point on this graph, that's the average of the 5 years that are right before it. And we put this on here to kind of make it easier to see what the trends are in the hydrology here. You look back here in the 1950s, and you see that the average there is maybe about 400,000 acre feet per year. You get back down here, we got a pretty bad drought here, starting about in the early 2000s. But the lowest point over here is in this 11, 12, 13, 14 period. So what this shows us is that, you know, based on the hydrology above Possum Kingdom, we definitely have a drought. The most recent drought is worse than the drought we saw in the 1950s. Now, we also had another one over here in the early 2000s that was also pretty bad as well. Just to contrast that, the next gauge here, this is the Brazos River at Richmond, which is down in the lower portion of the basin. Again, we've got the annual blue bar flow with this five-year average. And here you can see that back here in the 1950s, the average flow over 5 years is much lower than it was in the most recent drought. I will point out here, though, that, you know, here we've got 2011. 2011 was the lowest flow year that has been recorded at the Richmond Gauge. But overall, for the drought period, and droughts are, you know, when you're talking about drought of record, we're talking about a 5 to 7 year period or longer, that really the 1950s drought is still the worst drought in the basin, or at the Richmond Gauge in the lower basin. This is just a comparison. You know, we got South Bend up here, Richmond down here at the bottom, and you can see, you know, we have a definite trend here that is very different than what we saw in the upper basin. Okay, and we have in the study we've done this kind of analysis for several other gauges throughout the basin. We also looked at the potential impact on the yields of the individual reservoirs. And what we've determined is that there are four reservoirs in the BRA system that have a new drought of record. And they're all located in this kind of upper western part of the basin. We've got Possum Kingdom, Granbury, Lake Whitney, and Lake Proctor. Now, for all the rest of the basin, the worst drought that we have in the record is still back in the 1950s, so there hasn't been a reduction in yield for those. I also want to point out something real interesting here. You have Lake Whitney and Lake Aquila are right next door to each other, but they have different drought of record. And the reason for that is because Lake Whitney receives inflows from the main portion of the Brazos River, most of which is in this upper western portion of the basin, okay? So it has that's where its worst drought is, but Lake Aquila has a much smaller watershed that generates inflow, and it's kind of in this lower portion of the basin where we don't have a new drought of record. So just because two reservoirs are next to each other geographically doesn't mean that they may not have different drought periods. Okay, I thought that was rather interesting. We're going to talk about, you know, what the impact is on the system as a whole, particularly looking at the through the lens of the system operation permit. What I've got here, I'm looking at the 1950s drought here. Across the top, this blue Blue Line is the combined storage of Possum Kingdom, Granbury, and Whitney, the three most upstream reservoirs. The red line here, those are your five Little River reservoirs. So that's Proctor, Belton, Stillhouse Hollow, Georgetown, and Granger. Okay? And then the green line here is that's the combined storage of the rest of the guys, which are Limestone, Somerville, and Aquila. And this particular simulation has Allen's Creek in it. Even though Allen's Creek hasn't been built yet, it's part of the model and part of the yield of the system. So this is kind of interesting through the lens of system operation permit. One thing you'll notice is that for your upper basin reservoir, PK, Granbury, and Whitney, the lowest point that it gets to here is in 1953, okay, as we're going through the drought of record. And then it fills up back in 1955. Now, what this is, drought of record isn't like a monolithic thing where it never rains through the whole period. You know, they actually have periods of rain, and sometimes you have substantial rains and substantial flows. It's just that throughout this period, it's overall more dry than anything else. So, and to contrast that with the Little River system here, which way back in 1947 is the last time that that particular system is full, and it just keeps declining and going down until it reaches its worst point in 1956 or the beginning of 1957. For the rest of the basin, their record drought starts a little later in the 1950s. Again, almost fills up here, kind of in the middle, but then gets down to its worst point. Now, one thing that we did when we were doing the system operation permit and we were looking at demands throughout the basin, the fact that your upper basin reservoirs, particularly Possum Kingdom, was pretty full when the rest of the basin was in really bad drought conditions. So what that let us do particularly for your big demands in the lower basin, your valves, GCWA, those guys, when these other reservoirs were empty, we had plenty of water in the upper part of the basin that we could release downstream. That's the beauty of system operation. It lets you, use supplies where they're available to meet supplies in other parts of your system. Okay, let's contrast this to the more. Yes, sir.
On the model, on this time frame, the only reservoirs in the upper basin were PK, correct?
Historically, but what the model does is we take the historical hydrology and simulate it as if all these reservoirs were in place when these things were occurred. That's a good question. This is all computer model stuff. All right, so let's look at the more recent drought. Again, we've got the blue line here are your three upper basin reservoirs.
Pretty serious.
Red line is your five Little River reservoirs, and the green line is the rest of the system. Okay, you look here and you see that beginning of 2010, 2011, your upper basin reservoirs, they start to go down. And they continue to go down until they reach their lowest point over here at the end of 2015 time frame. But on the other hand, last time I said that, the Little River reservoirs were, had this really long drought of record, and they really, weren't able to contribute much to system operation. If you look here, when PK and Granbury were at their lowest, in the Little River system, we've got about 300,000 acre feet of water in storage. Okay, so we've kind of the opposite of where we were before, although it's not full, but you certainly have a whole lot of water here in these Little River reservoirs that you can use to help meet demands from your system. And the rest of it, you can see here that again, the other parts of the basin here in 2011, it's lower, then it recovers somewhat, and then over in here, in the your Somervilles and limestones. There was water available during this 2011 through 2015 drought that you could use to help meet those supplies. So again, this is another case where system operation is going to help you increase the reliability of your system. And what we found, I've got this next slide here, just compares these two, is that when we ran our model with the yields that we had for the system operation permit, we discovered that, you know, although the operation policies that we had used for the 1950s drought, where we were relying on PK at the end of the drought, they didn't work, and we had to revise how we would say we'd operate the system and what those triggers were. What we found out was that there was no reduction in yield for the system operation permit with the new drought of record, which was really good news. I was happy to see that. So do you have any questions or comments about this?
I do have a question. It's related to the previous one. If the whole purpose of this study is to determine water availability at various time frames, mm-hmm. did you go back and look with these reservoirs that were included and to take them out of the system? In other words, in the 50s, we know Granberry wasn't present.
Right.
What would have been the effect if you'd run it the way it was? The system was actually operating.
If Granberry wasn't there, and you only had a couple of reservoirs, you know, we have a very different picture of what the BRA system looks like. So, and there's also no question that you have a new drought record at PK at Granberry, which means that that the yield of those reservoirs has been reduced over what we saw before. But for the system as a whole, for the system as a whole, when you're talking about using your whole system to meet demands everywhere in the basin, it hasn't had an impact on it. So I'm not sure if I'm really answering your question, but if we only had just the reservoirs that were there in the 1950s, we would have PK and not much else. So you wouldn't even be talking about something like this. So. Yes, and again, what this is this is a simulation where we've taken what we're doing is we're taking the historical period of the hydrologic record. We are using a computer model as if all the reservoirs, not just BRA's reservoirs, but all the other water supply development in the Brazos Basin was there during the 1950s drought. And then we have everybody working so that all the water right holders are all fully utilizing their permits. So we're not simulating a historical condition that's ever happened. What it is, though, is this is the benchmark that the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality uses to evaluate water rights. Is that if you get a new water right, it has to be as if everybody in the basin is fully utilizing all their water. So this is kind of a theoretical thing. It's not something that actually happened or hasn't happened yet, but it's using historical hydrology to simulate on the ground right now if we had a repeat of these conditions. I don't know if that clears things up or not. So. Okay. All right. The benefits of system operation. The big thing about having a system like the BRAs, which is geographic, distributed throughout the basin, in different parts of the basin, react to droughts in different ways. The system operation permits lets you take advantage of those differences in the system in order to maintain the supplies available from the system. I just think there's really no, in my mind, there's no no clearer illustration of the benefits of the system operation permit than what we've seen now. And we and I anticipate that in a future drought, which is probably going to look even different than these droughts, it's going to be the same thing. It's like the timing of different parts of the drought is going to be different in different parts of the system, and you're going to be able to make use of your system operation permit to help meet the supplies of your customer. So, yes, ma'am.
When you showed the last graph, that one, uh-huh. that shows PK and Granberry very, very low, and then it shows the ones that would be down at the lower part, the green one, as fairly stable. I don't think that condition could occur, because when there's a big drought, even though the end of the river down there will take the water that's coming down from Granberry and all those others, how can the end of the river be up that high? We don't have Allen's Creek, but even if you did, Allen's Creek can't take water when it's not raining. So how will we handle people that are down at the end of the river?
Well, this, one thing I really want to point out is that what this is the water that's in store. This is stored water. Okay, so it's not water that's in the river.
Okay.
You know, the reason why you build the reservoir is so that when you have dry periods, you've got stored water that you can make use of. So this really isn't in the bottom of the basin. That's what water that's stored in those reservoirs.
And another important point is all those other reservoirs are on tributaries, so they're not actually on the main stem of the Brazos.
Okay.
And so we
kind of dilute the end because you put all these other smaller ones in with the end. Like if you had a Rocheron and you showed this same graph with at the Rocheron station, whatever they call it.
Gauge.
Yeah, the gauge down there. Then if you use that part of it, like you showed the other one.
Right.
Richmond. Yeah, the Richmond. Then how would that look? Because I'm really interested in what's going on at the end, because every time there's a big drought, we don't have water.
Right.
We're waiting on somebody to flush or to do something to put some water back in the river. And I don't see how that really depicts what's going on down there unless you show what's going on down at, I think Rocheron is the latest, the
right.
deep, the furthest down gauge. And so I just need to see that because I'm really worried about what's going on down at the end.
Rocheron looks very similar to Richmond. You know, you do have some very dry years. You have 2011 is the worst one.
Oh, I know. It got within 4 miles of
right.
our intakes.
And you have 13 and 14 were also very, very dry.
Uh-huh.
But as, you know, but when we start talking about stored water and water that's in the system, that's when we start talking about these things.
One of the reasons we're using the Richmond gauge is because it has a much longer period of record. It goes all the way back to the early 1900s and I think Rocheron's been there about the last 30 years. So, like John said, if you showed the last 30 years, it's going to look very similar to Richmond.
Okay.
But for the analysis, we use the Richmond gauge because we've got a lot more data. And like you said, within those really bad dry years, the flow essentially got down to nothing.
It
down
did.
In the lower basin.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, what we're looking at here is a monthly.
But what he's saying is that you could then take the stored water and release it for a price.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But we don't have Allen's Creek, and be a little while before we get Allen's Creek, like maybe 10 years, longer than that, 20 years. Okay. And so what happens when we have a drought at the end of the river and you're taking water upstream and we don't have any downstream?
That's when that water that's in the reservoirs, if we have a drought like the recent drought.
But Allen's Creek is not there and it's included on this graph.
Right, but Limestone and Somerville are also on that green line, and then the red line are the Little River reservoirs. So if you take Allen's Creek off of there, it's about 150,000 acre-feet of storage that's there. So if you could reduce that green line, you know, in
a little
150,000 acre-feet. So, again, this simulation is assuming every water right holder in the basin is taking all of their water. So BRA and everybody else, Dow, Gulf Coast,
okay.
is fully using all of their supplies. And if in that event, which unlikely that it will ever happen, if it ever happened where everybody was using every drop of permitted water, it's going to be you know, way
very unlikely. That's right.
There would be some water in these tributary reservoirs that would be used to supply and bridge the gap if we have a drought like the last one. If you look up at the 50s drought, the main stem reservoirs are what bridge the gap there.
Okay.
Is it fair to say there's more inflow?
Time is going to tell.
Say below Whitney and south than there is back to the north?
There was in this recent drought, but again, if you look, you know, at the top graph versus the bottom, in the 50s drought, there was a lot more water coming from the upper Brazos. You know, if you look, if you would have had no reservoirs there and a gauge somehow at the mouth of the Brazos to account for where the water came from with no reservoirs capturing it, in the 50s drought, more of the water coming in the really dry periods would be coming from the upper Brazos. In this more recent one, most of the water would be coming from areas from Whitney and downstream. Just, you know, all the droughts are different. Like John said, the next one we have won't look exactly like either one of these. You know, it may be a little bit different. So, again, the flexibility of having 11 reservoirs gives us the ability to deal with that, whereas if we only had, you know, the three upper basin reservoirs, PK, Granbury, and Whitney, we would have problems because this most recent drought, you know, shows that we don't have the yield there that we you know, had before this recent drought occurred.
Brad, and also the basin lays northwest to southeast, and that average rainfall throughout that basin is quite different.
Right.
And so that's a bigger, to me, that if you look at the basin picture, it says a lot about that eastern sector, which is the lower sector.
Oh, yeah.
It's generally going to have a higher rainfall, correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Higher average. But when it's not raining, the average doesn't matter.
Right.
But it will generally have more.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the western parts of the basin, you're looking at annual totals on average, some places 15 to 20 inches, whereas down by the coast, it's 50 inches per year.
All right. Okay. The answer to the question is the most recent drought worse than the drought of the 1950s. It is for part of the basin. It is for four reservoirs in the BRA system. I have a new drought of record and have a reduction in their firm yield. But for the rest of the basin, it's not true. The 1950s drought still remains the worst drought. Do we decrease the appropriation due to system operation? No, because we can still get the same yield out of the system operation permit through both droughts. There is no reason to reduce the appropriation, and that was our recommendation in the study. All right.
Again, this has been filed with TSEC staff. They've reviewed it, provide some comments back to us, and we continue to pursue the final tying up the loose ends on the system operation permit. And we can answer any other questions you might have. Yes, sir. It is on our website, yes, sir. Go to the system operation link. There's a copy of it out there.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
I understand. I think I now understand why you would include those reservoirs that weren't present at the time of the drought, but this really doesn't account for what users are located where in the basin. This is just looking at the whole system. Let me rephrase my question. If, for instance, we had a big user that was up in the upper basin, this doesn't really take into account the location of that user.
It does take into account the location of every water right that exists today. So if you had a new project that there's not a permit for yet, it wouldn't necessarily be in this analysis. But, you know, for all the reservoirs, let's say, that exist upstream of PK, you know, Hubbard Creek is in there, Miller's Creek Reservoir, all the water rights that are in existence today are included in this analysis as if they're using every drop of water every year that they have under their permit. New projects aren't necessarily.
And we also have every BRA contract, existing contract at their diversion locations, plus the demands that have been identified in regional water plans.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, sir.